Citizen scientists deploy Batmobiles around Haines, and wordsmiths gather in Skagway for an annual tradition. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Alaska Fish and Game is stepping up its research in Southeast on a certain nocturnal bug-eating animal. Bats in the lower 48 are being threatened by a disease called white nose syndrome. That's prompting Alaska researchers to find out which bats live here and where they roost. But they can't do all the work by themselves, so they're enlisting the public's help. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
That's bats. Oh, that's it. Isn't that cool?
The sun has just set, and Pam Randles is driving her car 20 miles per hour along the Chilkoot River.
You drive along very slowly, and you keep a steady pace, and the GPS is keeping track, and then all of a sudden, chitter, 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 and it was just like, whoa, it really worked. You really can hear them.
Now, the human ear can't hear bat sounds, so Randles' car has been turned into a Batmobile. There's an acoustic detector, kind of like a bat microphone, attached to the top of the car, and a little box inside that plays and records the bat calls the microphone picks up. A GPS tracks the location of the sounds.
I mean, it's a huge project. We couldn't do it without citizen scientists.
Michael Cohen is a biologist with Fish and Game and one of the researchers on the bat study. Their work started in 2011, but last year they ramped up their efforts by getting citizen scientists involved in acoustic driving surveys.
Anybody can go out and record bat calls. We have a certain route that we're interested in being able to see what bat species are on that route and where they are. And people will go out at night and record bat calls as they drive.
Cohen says last summer, the surveys were hugely successful in the first two communities, Haines and Gustavus. 30 volunteers participated. This summer, Cohen is expanding the program to Juneau, Craig, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Sitka. In Haines, the library has a sign-up sheet for the bat detectors. People can check them out for 2 weeks at a time. But when the people collecting data are not scientists, can you trust them?
The way that our research project is orientated is that we are asking specific information from citizen scientists, and so it really provides no room for failure.
Randles puts it a different way. She says the design is idiot-proof. Here's how it works. The citizen scientist just puts the microphone on their car, turns on the bat call detector, and fills out a sheet of paper with information like the time and weather conditions. Fish and Game then takes the driving survey data to figure out where bats roost and what species they are. Cohen says last summer, the driving surveys picked up sounds from 5 species of bats in Haines and 4 in Gustavus. They include silver-haired bats, little brown bats, and California bats. Getting a sense of the bat population here gives scientists a baseline in case the disease white nose syndrome spreads to Alaska.
When you see a bat that's affected by white nose syndrome, the white fungal disease is actually on their nose. It's a white fuzzy mold, basically, that's growing on the nose and like on their wings.
Since 2006, the disease has spread down the East Coast, and it's moving west as well.
It is a threat to bats right now, a big threat to bats. And so scientists, bat scientists as a whole, are trying to come up with a way to monitor the population of bats on a North America-wide effort. And so that's why these driving surveys and the stationary detectors are useful. We can use the information and send that information to this huge database to be able to monitor bat populations.
So bat scientists are clearly interested and concerned about bats, but how do you make the average person care about them?
I try to incorporate the importance of bats in the way that bats can eat mosquitoes. So they're voracious mosquito eaters. A single little brown bat, which is the size of your thumb, can eat 1,000 mosquitoes in an hour.
Apparently, that pitch has worked. The success of this citizen science project is prompting Fish and Game to expand public involvement. Next summer, they're hoping to use citizen scientists in amphibian research. Back in the Batmobile with Randles, it's a fairly quiet night. We've heard about 5 bat calls between Chilkoot Lake and the end of Mud Bay Road. Randall says her perspective on the little screechy creatures has totally changed with the help of this project.
I hated bats because long ago and far away when I was a teenager, I was out on the beach with, at that moment, the love of my life. And we were sitting around a campfire and these bats kept dive bombing us. And it just freaked me out and I got completely scared of them and was scared of them for 45 years.
Wow.
Then when I come out here to study these guys, you know, and all of a sudden I'm not hating bats for no reason. You know, I have a better appreciation for what they do and how they fit into the system and what the benefits of having them around are.
And besides, she says, they're just so cute sounding. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The North Words Writers Symposium began Wednesday in Skagway. This is the sixth year of the event, part workshops, part retreat, part motivator for aspiring and established writers. This year's keynote speaker is Mary Roach, best-selling author of science books like Gulp, Adventures on the Elementary Canal, and Stiff, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers. We talked with one of the event's founders and organizers, Dan Henry, about luring Roach to the event and what draws Alaska writers to Skagway for 3 days.
We have been working for a little over 2 years to get Mary Roach, and we were just determined to get her because she's a fantastic writer. She's really, really funny. She's a very personable workshop leader, and she only speaks a handful of times each year, so we had to stand in line for quite a long time to be honored with Mary's presence in Skagway. I would say she's a science writer with a comic edge, and that she writes about, I just finished the book Bonk, which is writing about sex, and if you ever wanted to know about any physiological or even psychological elements of sex, then Mary Roach's Bonk is great. And it also, you know, every one of her books makes you laugh out loud from time to time, too. So she is trying to convey interesting scientific information, oftentimes complicated scientific information, in a streetwise and entertaining manner. We're really trying to get things out for a variety of artists, but we have kind of been a little more geared toward history and cultural events. And so this time we wanted to shift that a bit toward science, because you're right, there are absolutely a lot of science writers out there, and you know, even some of the workshops that we have, panel topics reflect some of that. You know, the way our panels work, we, over the course of the symposium, I think we have about six or seven sessions where there are options for different panels, informative panels, and you get to hear three or four people talking about an issue that probably you as a writer or a beginning writer or aspiring writer or somewhere in there have thought about. A lot of our symposium participants are interested in are just the regular day-to-day issues around writing and how to make that work. Of course, those are the most time-consuming, the most arduous, and oftentimes the least mediagenic, really. But they are the hard truth of being a writer. As Truman Capote said, the secret to great writing is a comfortable chair. But I would say, generally, if you're looking at a personality type or a profile of a participant, oftentimes that person has tried a little bit of writing or is maybe starting to think about writing more. Maybe they write poetry or memoir work or stories about their time in Alaska, wherever it might be. Perhaps they're writing fiction, but they're just needing something to fan their embers of imagination. And we provide an awesome opportunity to fan those embers and really turn them into a full-on blaze. But we really try to work with our participants to make them feel part of the system. It's not a, you know, there's some conferences I've been to, there's sort of a pecking order where you have the megafauna up there, and occasionally you got to touch their hem of their garment. But in Skagway, we're all on one level. We're all in a tiny town, and we're all having fun together.
The North Words Writer Symposium continues through Saturday. For a complete schedule, you can visit the symposium's website at nwritersS.com. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.